show you tell me it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this Friday, the 28th of April, 2006. My guest today, Lauren Moray. And, Lauren, I didn't do your bio because the thing is 2 pages long.
Oh.
You want to hit the high points on this one?
Well, I'm a geoscientist, and I graduated from UC Davis in California in 1968. I worked for a year for a paleobotanist and saved some money, and then I got on a plane and went to Europe with $1,000, and I came back 10 years later, and I left on the night the astronauts blasted off for the moon in August of 1968. And I sort of call it free-falling through life, but I lived in Cambridge, and I worked for Dr. Louis Leakey, and I went on expeditions with for the Kew Gardens and the British Museum to Turkey and Yugoslavia and Bulgaria on botanical expeditions discovering new plants. And I went to the Caucasus Mountains in Russia. I've been in 44 countries doing geology and botany research. And, well, it was just a giant adventure. It was really, really exciting.
Now, why can't I? You know, it would be really nice to have a neighbor like you. I could invite you over for coffee, and then you could tell me about all your ventures and, you know, all the places you've been around the world. But you know what? I'm surrounded with school teachers and cops.
Oh, you know. My goodness.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Well, I'll come and see you.
All right. Well,
I'm coming to Texas soon, so I'll come and see you.
Well,
I want to hear about your adventures, too.
Well, Lauren, you got to let us know when you're coming down, because we do have Truth Seekers meetings. And if when you come down here, I'd like to set something up, do an interview with you before the scheduled date, but I'd love to have you talk to the people here in Central Texas.
I'd love to talk to them. I just need an invitation.
You got one.
So then I came back to the U.S., and I did a master's degree at Berkeley in Near Eastern Studies because I fell in love with Iran and the culture, the ancient culture and everything. And when I graduated from Berkeley and with my master's, I still needed a job. So I got a job at the Lawrence Berkeley Lab, and I was studying volcanoes and doing experiments. I didn't even know it was a nuclear weapons lab. I didn't even know what nuclear weapons were. I just knew they were kind of awful. And I left and ended up moving to Livermore with a small daughter, and I needed a job. So someone got me a job at Livermore, and I was working on the WIP and Yucca Mountain waste isolation projects, which were total science fraud, and that's where my eyes started really opening. Livermore Lab is the weirdest culture of weirdo people and sociopaths and people who want to be controlled. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Super geeks.
After God, just weird people. And after 2 years, one day I said, this place is worse than the Soviet Union. So I packed all my everything in my office into my car, drove out the gate. I fired them. They didn't fire me. And they have been harassing and retaliating against me since. And in 2000, they kidnapped my daughter, bankrupted me, everything. And the Japanese invited me to the Hiroshima and Nagasaki conferences, and that is what saved my life. That's when I started working on the radiation issue.
You have to have a spotlight and notoriety. Now, I won't say that you're untouchable, but it's more of a danger for them to start harassing you again.
It would be devastating for them.
All right. We got a break. We'll be right back.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is John Statman, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
My guest today has also woken up a few people in Russia. The Trojan horse of nuclear war in June of 2004, the World Affairs Journal, was translated at the request of the Kremlin for distribution throughout the Russian government. So you're pretty well known.
Well, you know, I never do anything with any expectations at all. I just write stuff because I think it needs to be out there. And it's sort of like giving it to the universe, and it comes down like fairy dust, and all kinds of people pick it up. I didn't even know where it goes or who's reading it. It doesn't matter. It's for humanity. And we never know what we can do. We never know what effect we can have, but we can't have any if we don't do something.
Well, and I've expressed this, and I'll get your calls here in a second. Alan, hang on. I know you've been there for a while. I just wanted to say that I hope this is an example to other people that are in the loop, so to speak, that are in the know, that they sit and they watch people like you coming forth with your information, because you really do care. And I'm not one of these people that is so cynical, not yet anyhow, to think that there are not good people in positions that they could do something. But it's like this little game. They're testing the waters, constantly dipping their big toe in it to see if it's okay to come out. So I hope through this process that more people have courage, because if you're loud enough, your information is good, and you can't really be touched. And the more people that come forth to clean up this absolute disgusting evil corruption that we have seen grown globally, that I hope that they realize that our only chance is by them coming forth and participating in the game of human life.
That's right, and there's more of us. How many people have worked in different parts of this apparatus that's been put together to be used against us? We've actually helped them build it so we can take it apart, too. We need to talk to each other.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Alan in Kansas. Thanks for holding, Alan.
Hello, John.
Hi.
It seems to me that depleted uranium weapons makes a nuclear battlefield that's a hazard above beyond the call, beyond the natural hazards of war that one would think that they would have just going to war. So I'm thinking only informed volunteers should be allowed to go, and that any state legislature and governor should have cause to recall their state guard from this war.
Yes, there actually is a posse of governors now demanding for the return of the National Guard. The National Guard were never intended for foreign wars. They were to help out in states with natural disasters and in other ways that the governor would need them.
Foreign invasions?
Yes, yeah. Foreign invasions. And one of the reasons that I believe, and others do too, that our National Guard has been set off to become uranium meat is to destroy the ability of the states to protect themselves from outside military coming in.
Well, that's the state guard is their organized militia. That's not saying anything about the unorganized, which, as near as I can tell, is very unorganized. But this is a weapon that keeps on killing, and I don't think the governors of any state, if they understood this and the depth that you're talking about, they don't need anybody's permission because the general that they have over that is a state person. It's all state.
They need to recall the National Guard, period.
That's what I'm saying. They need to just do it. They don't need to have a committee meeting or a hearing or just do it.
They don't need to get the permission of Congress or anything.
That's right. And any state, I think, could do that.
And what is very interesting is that the popularity of this depleted uranium bill being introduced in state legislatures was a complete shock, especially the bipartisan support for it. And what that indicated to me very early on is that the state legislatures are furious at the federal government about what is going on, not just in the depleted uranium issue, and other people with issues who can't get any response from Congress are going to state legislatures. So this is what we need to do because state elected officials are much more accountable to the citizens than the members of Congress.
Well, you know, in our foundation, that United States is supposed to be an agent of the states. So any state should be able to do this.
Well, they have done their best to reverse that process, haven't they?
Well, the states have done their best to sell out and become a territory again after becoming a state. So
well,
now they're behaving as a territory.
Well, we are the people. We are the government. We are the laws. And if we let them do this, then we've let them do it. We don't have to let them do it.
Well, the problem is that there are the administrative positions to make sure that that does not happen. And I can see no better reason, and I've said this ad nauseum, that hopefully things are going to get bad enough that honest people want to run for high offices, governors of states, lieutenant governors, members of Congress, members of the state Senate, that we have people that have finally had enough, that we once again install honesty in government again. And the people, this is only going to come, unfortunately, you know, this is from the tail end of the elephant here. Unfortunately, this is only going to happen from the ground up. Either we as citizens of our respective states are going to smarten up and get involved in that political process, and I'm not saying just plugging a few people into that matrix and let them get chewed up, But I'm talking about people that understand the Constitution, understand their duties under the state constitutions, and we go forth from there. Because plugging a few people in here and there, either in state legislatures or in the Congress, the congressional morass that we have in Washington, D.C. now, ain't going to work. This is only going to happen when the people themselves, us, you and me, and everybody listening, finally decide that we've had enough of this, and then we do something about it.
And I think there are some veterans running for public office. I think they're wonderful, and they have helped the most with these depleted uranium bills, especially the Vietnam veterans, because they've been there, they've seen that, they've done that, they got all the lies, they got kicked to the curb, and they know what the game is.
Yeah. Anything else, Alan?
Well, no, you pretty much told me, you know, I mean, that's it. But I think we need to go back to understanding that a grassroots movement is not a bottom-up movement. It's from the top down. The people are in a superior position.
Right.
You know, I'll give you that one. Yeah, I stand corrected. But
we've always said it, and we've understood it that way, but
yeah.
We need to rethink it.
I understand. Thank you for your call, Alan.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Fred in Pennsylvania. Hello, Fred. Thanks for holding.
John.
Hi.
I want to just shift gears slightly and talk about the armaments process, what's been going on for a long time. I came across an excellent article that says, quote, that the United States government in 1955 adopted a proposal for, quote, new uninhibited research for the development of a complete family of chemical, biological, and radiological weapons for actual use if necessary. Three major commands were set up: research and development, engineering and materiel, and the necessary budgetary appropriations were made. Now, that's a long-term planning document. That's not a that's not just a proposal that doesn't have any effect on other the behavior of the government in the future. This is something that is it's irreconcilable. It's going to go forward for the indefinite future until it is revoked. So you have basically a no limit on research and no limit on the type of weapons that the government wants to acquire. And I haven't seen anything in the literature that really tells me that they're serious about reversing that whole process.
Well, they got the bioweapons program from Japan after World War II. It's called Project 731, and that was human experimentation with biological agents in Manchuria on prisoners of war. They got the rocket program from Germany, and they got the directed energy and mind control from Russia when World War II ended. And so those were all the focus of that mandate that you were just referring to. And that's what they're busy developing. They're still doing it.
Yeah, we got the best of the best from the Nazis and the commies.
And John, I want to talk just a second about you are right on target when you say that there has been a deterrent effect of nuclear weapons in this post-war period. But we all know that the effect of that is getting more and more expensive to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there has to be a maybe a use of all this communications that we have come up with as a check on the governments around the world. In other words, people are going to have to know what their governments are doing, or the governments are going to be able to avoid any ultimate responsibility of how they use these weapons. So that's not something that's been tried before.
Right.
But everything basically in front of the people, or face the consequences for not doing it.
There is the problem, because the peoples are the government. But the problem is when your government cuts off that arm of itself, that's when you have what you have going on today. Thank you for your call, Fred. I appreciate it. Alan in Texas, you're up next. We'll be right back right after this.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Alan in Texas, you're up next. Hello, Alan.
Well, John, I was listening to your comment about, our troops being over there and the foreign troops being here.
Right.
And I was just visiting my son down at Lackland Air Force Base, and I noticed that the majority of the troops I saw were foreign troops. I saw troops from Israel, troops from Arab nations, troops from European nations, troops from Africa, all there together. And I saw very few American troops. And even more, the guards at the gate are not even soldiers. They're private contractors. So I thought that was a little bit scary and unnerving for someone that wants to have at least thinks that their troops are here and protecting them.
Welcome to the New World Order Army. Back in the 90s when Shekla Zavili, General Shekla Zavili, was he was the commencement speaker, I guess you could say, Operation Cooperative Nugget that took place. And this was a consortium of foreign troops, Lithuania, didn't matter. They were from all over the world. And he proudly proclaimed from the speaker's podium to direct the attention of the audience and attendance to the soldiers that were standing at attention on the parade field. This is the army of the New World Order. Now, I don't know how much more in your face you can get than that, but that has been progressively, Alan, continuing over the years.
There are also reports, I've heard lots of reports from people in airports seeing foreign troops arrive, and other stations and journalists have reported foreign troops all over the United States exercising on their own or also exercising with U.S. troops. So I think that's not a big surprise.
The question is, what can we do about it to let our senators and congressmen know that we don't like this?
Well, we didn't like NAFTA. 90% of Americans that responded are politicians in Washington, D.C. We made our voices known, and they didn't care. We did the same thing with the Central American Free Trade Agreement. We did the same thing with that. They didn't care. They're marching to the globalist tune, Alan, and until such time that we either take back our states and we can collectively tell Washington, D.C. to go take a leap, or we walk into Washington and clean that rat hole out, the answer to your question is, I don't know what to do.
Well, I think you hit on it, though. We've got to vote all the rascals out.
Well, yeah, but here's the problem. Now you're getting into the arena. Well, how this should be handled is by law, because now you're entering into the bread and circuses. This is what they have us conditioned into. It's politics, and I've been around long enough to watch politicians, watch how they operate, watch how they diffuse, watch how they lie to get into office, how they lie and pander to stay in office. And I don't think this is going to be the proper approach just by casting a ballot to try to plug the right guy in.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
that's part of what we need to do.
Yeah, I mean this has got to be done by law. I don't see the political gatekeepers out there doing anything about their own positions. In other words.
Oh yes, I agree with you. Now, one other thing I just saw in the news last night, I was whittling stations, which I rarely do. UT is in the process of buying up one of the labs that makes bombs, nuclear bombs. Are you aware of that?
Who did you say was doing it?
University of Texas.
I figures.
They can't actually buy the nuclear weapons laboratory. They're under the Department of Energy. The University of Texas was, actually, they have part of their campus is classified. They have a bioweapons program there. And they did bid with some other corporations on the nuclear weapons contract for Los Alamos, which was awarded
yes,
in December to the University of California.
Okay.
So, they were trying to bid on it, but what this whole thing is actually about the nuclear weapons laboratories and the bid on the contract is
okay.
About privatizing the nuclear weapons labs.
And yeah, they seem to be privatizing everything.
They're privatizing everything.
Well, and welcome to the Project for a New American Century. This is part and parcel of what they do. The privatization process, which is actually was signed off by Daddy Bush, Herbert Walker, he set it up by executive order back in 92.
Yeah, this is all looting the United States.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate your call, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We're coming up on break here in less than a minute, and when we get back, Lauren, you are just absolutely chock full of information, and sometimes as a talk show host, it's hard to guide the host into critical areas that the listeners need to know about the information that you have. So when we get back, I'm going to let you have free rein here as to where you want to go and where you want to take the balance of this broadcast. So everybody hang in there. My guest today, Lauren, Moray is the pronunciation. Am I getting that correctly?
That's right.
All righty. We'll continue with this right on the other side of this break. Stay tuned.
Listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to stoptheftaa.org and help keep America free. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
We'll take one more call here from Alabama, and we'll let my guest today go where she will. The problem I've seen with a lot of talk show hosts in the industry, folks, is they try to be smarter than their guests. And if that's the case, why even have guests? So we'll do that right after this. Jerry in Alabama, you're up, sir.
Yes, thank you, John, for all that you and Sandra are doing.
Yes, sir.
And I'd like to mention this business of depending on electing uncorrupted, honest, decent, God-fearing people is impossible because the election system has these electronic components in it, and each one of them separately is programmable, and they can just dial the percentage they want their candidate to win by. And this has been documented. American Free Press, Christopher Bolin, has documented it. Bev Harris with Black Box Voting has documented it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to ask Lauren, what can we do about this, Lauren?
Well, you know, a lot of this electronic manipulation and everything was actually developed at the nuclear weapons laboratory. So the backbone of the Internet was developed there, and the nuclear weapons labs even today are involved in the voting machines, and, of course, their ties are to the military-industrial complex So we need to look at ways that we can make a difference and we can make a change. And what we have to do is take the profit out of war. This is what Smedley Butler said, General Smedley Butler said.
Yes.
In the 1920s. And so I started looking at pension funds to see what pension funds were invested in. And I discovered that while we're out in the street by the millions demonstrating against war, when we go home, our retirement checks and our paychecks are actually coming from investments in the military-industrial complex. For instance, the University of California pension funds and other investments are heavily invested not only in depleted uranium weapons manufacturers, but other military contractors. The CalPERS, the California Government Retirement Fund, is very heavily involved in weapons manufacturers, but believe it or not, they own over 5.5% of the Carlyle Group, and they have an option to buy another 5.5% within a couple of years.
Goodness.
We've also forced the Canadian government, the British Columbia State Workers' Pension Fund. They've invested in 251 weapons manufacturers in the United States. So we need to go to our own pension funds and start divesting from weapons manufacturers. That's a really, really big issue. And
well, why is this, Lauren, if I can ask you, why is this going on? I mean, we don't seem to be short of any corporations out there with bags full of money in which to invest. Why did it have to go and use the investment funds here?
Well, because the people making the fiscal decisions to invest are picking corporations that give them big returns. And I think that some of the investments in these weapons manufacturers are giving 35% return annually. So why wouldn't they invest? And the recipients, the beneficiaries, the citizens, are thrilled to have these large returns on their investment.
Would they be as thrilled if they understood where that money was coming from?
Of course not. And that's why we need to inform them. The world turns on information. And we have programs like yours. We have the Internet. We have blogs. We have free weekly and monthly newspapers in our communities where we can use these as ways to educate the public and inform the citizens about what is really happening.
Well, Lauren and John, could I ask, is this a practical step toward achieving control over these military industries and the depleted uranium? Canada and France have both installed the system where their voting precincts are limited to 500 voters, and the votes are counted on the spot. It's paper only, counted on the spot by the voters themselves watching their representatives counting the votes. I mean, actual observation of the votes and the tally. How practical is it to do that if we could get back to paper only, counted on the spot, and small voting precincts that doesn't justify the need for this high-speed electronic counting?
Well,
and incidentally,
yeah.
Let me just say this, one more thing. In Canada, it's the total national election returns are in within 2 hours.
And hand-counted.
Hand-counted.
So that's not the problem. The time of counting them is not the problem.
Right.
It's the result that is the problem, and they don't want an honest result in the United States.
Well, how worthwhile is it to get every county in the United States, the commissioners of every county still have the power to install
paper ballots
counted on the spot.
Yeah.
That's
and
exactly
watched by the people.
That's exactly what we should do.
And,
okay.
And Jerry, I've never seen a problem, and I've said this before, that electronic voting, that's fine. You can tabulate. especially in national elections. People can sit there and watch this, and they can do their forecasts, and they can report on it in the news, and that's fine. What I have said before, and coming down to what you're suggesting, that we hand count these ballots, I'm all for that. And the problem has been, obviously, because, well, they want certain people to be in certain powers of position on a timely basis, so they're just installing them, as we've seen, I think, George Bush installed by the United States Supreme Court. But I've said this before, if you can go to an ATM, I mean, we deal with money. Banks, they take that as a serious issue, and so do the people that use the banks. So you go to an ATM, what do you get? You get a printed copy of your transaction. And I don't see anything wrong with the electronic aspect of this. What I see it as being is a monitoring process, and that paper receipt as being the backup, and that should be counted. I don't care what they do with their electronic tabulations, but if that electronic tabulation does not match up with the paper receipt or ballot, we got to do it again.
You're referring to the having a paper receipt with your own PIN number on it that nobody knows except you, and then there's a printout from the precinct of how number such and such, the PIN number, voted.
Yes.
And you can tally from the printout sheet who won the election. I mean, me, the common voter, can do that. And that's what you're referring to, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay, that would work.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example of what these voting machines, who they're really benefiting. In the city of Berkeley, where I live, which is a very liberal city, we have the electronic voting machines. And in the last two elections, individuals came up to me and said, in each of the elections, the person I voted for on the screen is not the name that came up on the screen. And what happened is we had a mayoral election, and we have a mayor called Tom Bates, who was a University of California professor on the Berkeley campus, and before that, he was in the state legislature.
I've heard of him.
He got into office, and he bullied members of the city council. There were members who would not vote for it, but he got a majority to vote, and they turned over the entire downtown area of the city of Berkeley, including people's private property, to the University of California. In other words, UC Berkeley can bulldoze anything they want to. They can build anything they want to. And it violates our city charter. Then he also convinced members of the city council to allow Homeland Security to put 7 of their computer servers in City Hall, which means all library book checkouts, all finances, all contracts, everything goes to Homeland Security every day.
Electronics is great, isn't it?
Electronics, just great. And then they brought in a crooked, obscure live director of the Berkeley Public Library, and she did a sneak attack on the library and put computer chips in every book.
Did you say snake attack or sneak attack?
Sneak attack.
Okay.
All right. Jerry, thank you for your call.
Well, God bless you both.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We've got about 15 minutes here, Lauren. Let it rip wherever you want to go.
Well, I like interactive, so I'd like you to make comments, too.
Well, that's fine.
But I think that people need to understand that the issue that I'm bringing forward concerns the health of the environment and public health and the impact of these radioactive weapons on the environment and our public health.
Yeah, and many people don't know this. You're an actual environmental commissioner in the city of Berkeley.
That's right, and it's been a horrible battle on the Environmental Commission because the University of California has stacked it with their own drooling fools who are there to protect the university and not protect the people. And it's very disappointing to have to deal with them every month at our meeting. But I've been able, and other people in the commission have been able to make a difference. And so what has really happened since World War II is that the bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were perceived to be a tremendous success by certain entities in our government, and so a nuclear weapons program was almost immediately underway. And in order to get large amounts of plutonium for nuclear weapons, they the government sold the nuclear power program to the public people by deceiving them and saying that the electricity would be almost too cheap to meter. That's just such an outright lie. The result of the nuclear weapons program is that 1.3 billion people globally have been killed, maimed, and diseased by that radioactive technology that mankind has no business fooling with. There's nowhere to put the waste. The radioactive emissions go everywhere. And you can see in public health data for countries with nuclear power that as they increase the operating capacity or the amount of time each year that they're operating, the diseases the diseases in the country increase. And, of course, the most affected are the unborn babies and the newborns and our children and also the elderly. So it's been a technology that's come at a horrible cost to the environment and public health.
Well, pick your poison. I don't care if you're being, you know, a lot of people still out there in America don't know. The program that was devised, aluminum manufacturing, there's byproducts of that. Fluoride is one of them. And, well, we had to do something with this because, well, there's just too much of it. So what they decided to do and to sell it to the American people is, well, this is to fight tooth decay in our public. So, therefore, we have fluoridated water.
John, the fluoride is from the depleted uranium process in the nuclear weapons lab.
I stand corrected. Pray tell, tell me more.
It's also from the aluminum process, but Edward Teller, Dr. Strangelove, the doctor of death at Livermore, actually devised the fluoridation of water program for America, and it was a way to get rid of this horrible, absolutely horrible neurotoxin, which there's nothing to do with it when you have huge amounts of it. So the AEC and our government decided to dump it into our water supply. And now they're trying to add it to more communities. It was added to water in the slave camps of the Nazis to subdue their slaves.
Oh. Well, it's
not... Pick your poison.
What do you do with something like that? I mean, we have, you know, Lauren, let me get back to the point I made earlier about people's involvement. You know, I've heard over the years how bad things are, how bad things are getting, how it's projected to get even worse and almost unlivable. We have seen the global elite talking about population problems and reducing the population because that's directly correlated to consumption, which is hard on the environment, and on and on and on it goes. But we have many people out there that have been doing research and studies and trying to educate themselves. But I'm sitting here and I'm desperately trying to find a mechanism or a way, not the silver bullet, not the one fell swoop thing that's going to cure all, because that's not going to happen. But what I'm most concerned with, and there are people with a lot of concerns, environment, health issues, economy, political, you name it, why are they not being more involved? Is there, what do we need to do? Do we need to erect elaborate foundations? What do we need to do?
No, we need to form a global village and share information like a village does. The foundations primarily are there as gatekeepers, and they control the dialogue and how far the dialogue goes and by funding. Rockefeller, old John D. Rockefeller, said, after I die, I will continue to control what goes on in the U.S. through my foundation. It's the money. And so we have to find ways to be effective and be active in our own communities without requiring large resources, because we don't have access to them.
Well, in the large resources, I mean, that's not necessarily that important. That's the mechanism, the money that the globalists use.
Right.
They control it because they manufacture it. They can control it. But you're right. The sweat equity, if you will, the people themselves that want to see a change being made. But I'm looking out on the horizon, and I don't see that many leaders out there. And I think we have been conditioned that we can't do things very effectively on our own, that we have to appoint people that we know and we trust, and then everybody gets all flustered when they go sideways on us. That there is this psyche that people have developed, and to me it's a mental disorder. It's a mental disease that we have been conditioned that we must have leaders. We must have spokespeople. We can't do it ourselves.
Well, let's just look at that in terms of energy choices. An example is when we had the huge energy crisis in California, which started a week after Bush took office. And the big Texas energy companies screwed the state of California. There were two cities in the state of California that owned their own municipality, their own energy company, and one of the cities was Sacramento. They didn't have a single penny increase in the cost of electricity. I went to the Energy Commission meetings in San Francisco, and I listened to old people and small business owners almost crying, testifying that they had to make a choice between turning the lights on or eating every day. And I'll never forget that, because the commissioners were absolutely non-responsive. In fact, some of them sat there and laughed. And so we need to own our own utilities in each municipality. That's very, very important. When I went to Japan with Dr. Sternglass in March, I looked at Japan very critically. They have 55 nuclear reactors in a country the size of California. We have 4 in California, and we have horrendous health problems in California because of those 2 nuclear power plants. And what is happening in Japan is I looked at all of the renewable energy there. They have tidal power, wind power, geothermal power. They've got everything. They don't need to import any energy at all. And one village has drilled into a geothermal hot spring, and they have their own energy company now. I'm going on a campaign of Japan to encourage villages and towns to do the same thing. We can do that here.
Because I can't think. I saw a poll the other day that people were more concerned about the high gas prices than they were about the war in Iraq, or possibly the new war to be expanded into Iran. So this is an issue that has appeal worldwide.
That's right. And people get real concerned when it's hitting their pocketbook. But we can turn around and hit the pocketbook of the beneficiaries of looting our country. And that's why we have to divest from utilities that are bleeding us dry and form our own utility companies in our own town. We can do it. Other cities have done it. They're going to privatize water. They're trying to privatize water. The city of Atlanta sold their water company to a private corporation. It was a disaster for 20 years, and they just bought it back. The city owns it now. We can do it. We have to know about it. We need the information to be able to do it.
There is a lesson that the American people have got to learn, that you can't have your cake and eat it too, that you have to be involved. You have to be educated. You've got to stay on top of it, because for so long we've allowed little mid-level managers, politicians, to make our choices for us. We have been on cruise control, and they have been controlling everything else.
That's right. We're too reliant on corrupt bureaucratic individuals. And in a bureaucracy, you don't really know what's happening. Look at what's happening to Berkeley. They'll end up privatizing the whole town. We don't have to let that happen.
All right. We are just about out of time, and I've enjoyed this. This has been a fascinating 2 hours. And when is your targeted window for coming to Texas?
Oh, I don't know. I have to get an invitation, but
You've got one.
Okay.
So we'll just have to work out the finer points of who, what, where, and why, and when.
Yeah, and I'll be down there.
All right.
Okay.
Well, Lauren, I appreciate this very much, and we will have you back again. And much success. I admire your courage. We need people with backgrounds. Professional people are somehow given a cut above, let's say, above the common person out there. So what I said earlier in the broadcast, folks, that those that are listening right now that are in professional fields, if you have any influence on politics or business or whatever the case may be, this is in our hands, and we can start to make that change. But any long journey, as you know, Lauren, you've been globetrotting for many years, the journey starts with the first step.
That's right. It's the hardest one of all, and it just gets easier after that.
All righty. Lauren, thank you again.
Thank you, John, so much for all that you've done, and I hope people understand that John and I are doing this to empower you.
There it is, where the power should be.
That's right.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Folks, you know, there are times when I do a radio broadcast, and this has been a pretty maniacal week around here at the network, and there are times that when I do a broadcast on at the end of the week, sometimes it's to garner the mental powers to do it. Sometimes I'm a little lacking on that Friday, but it is such a pleasure to have people like this that are available to do interviews. I want you to seriously consider, you've been hearing the ads on the network for the 50 CD set at $149.95. I think the ad says $150. Well, we'll just round it out. These are educational tools that have been developed. These are CDs that have been meticulously, and I mean meticulously, gone through to eliminate any extraneous stuff at all. And that even means sometimes callers that get off a subject. These things have been produced. One of these CDs alone, folks, it took 8 hours just to edit a 2-hour program. Think about that. A lot of work went into this. We have done this and made this an educational set on a broad range of subjects that have been covered by the many talk show hosts on this network. It is an educational tool. Take advantage of it. Give us a call here today at 800-724-2719. Start to be that disseminator of information. I know that you can't absorb it all and relay it yourself. That's why we have the network and the many talented people involved in it. 800-724-2719. Come on, folks, let's roll up our sleeves and get busy. I'm going down to the McManus thing tonight. I'll see you down there.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.